The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hour number two of B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. It's time to get out to our guest hotline and bring in our guest, the one and only, the distinguished Barstool Nate. Nate, what's going on, dude?
Boys, it's so good to talk to you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Nate. So how happy were you?
I'll send JP a text. I don't know what time zone he's in right now. He's probably
he's in his zone
or something.
He's in his zone. But
okay, good.
Were you on Sunday, brother?
So, Sunday was something special, right? I said it last week. It was not a must-win game because I think the two games after it, Falcons at home and then a Cowboys team that has completely just fallen off, if they're playing for nothing and we're playing for something, I'm very confident we can beat that Cowboys team. But I said that the Eagles game is winnable. I think up and down on paper, the Eagles might have the better roster, they're playing better, et cetera. But with a fully healthy Jaden at home, this team, and I've said it how many times, B-Mitch, this team can beat anyone in the NFL.
Yeah.
We might not be as good as, you know, the Bills or whatever, but that's fine because this team competes, this team punches, this team fights, and Jaden is special. Jaden is an elite quarterback already in this league. He is, you know, we know he's a top 10 quarterback. I would have to look at a list. We might be knocking on top five already in his rookie season. And he proved it again, just how special he is, just how good he is, just how when he's in the game under center, there is nothing that he can't do. And we won the game at home. This team is 10-5. We are a 10 win team. There were, experts, as they like to call themselves, B-Mitch. I know you love that word. There were experts who had us as a 2-win team, as a 5-win team. This team is 10-5, almost locked into the playoffs. It is such a special season. I could not be happier.
One of my favorite things when you have a game like that, Nate, is going back and looking through the thread of tweets from various people and seeing the roller coaster of emotions. You were one of those as well. What were your emotions like for the game? Just the ups and downs, the craziness of that one.
Well, here's the thing is, you know, B-Rob comes out and he's just dropping the ball left and right. And he's getting stuffed on 4th-and-1 where it should have been converted. And so it's those little things where you go, man, if, you know, our offensive line just had a little more push, we convert that 4th-and-1. Or if B-Rob isn't just dropping the ball for no reason, this is a winnable game, and you sit there stewing in your own emotions because you know that this team can beat the Eagles at home, and they're just doing everything to get in their own way to stop that from happening. And then the tides turn, and you go, and especially obviously in the fourth quarter, and everything comes together, and we get the stops that we need to get, and Jaden does that 4th-and-11 run, and you just sit there with your jaw on the floor going, oh my God, like, this is not Ron Rivera's team anymore. This is a real football team who competes to the final whistle, who does not give up, and who outscores the Eagles 22-6 in the fourth quarter to win a game in front of our home fans. If people weren't already on board across the NFL, like other teams' fans, they are now. Now they're like, oh yeah, this team is for real.
Well, as you look at the game coming up, and they're going to be playing against Michael Penix now instead of playing against Kirk Cousins. Do you think he throws anything differently at this football team that they have to be more concerned about? Because he's a guy that will take chances down the field. We know Kirk got to a point where he wouldn't take those chances.
Yeah, but like he's still a rookie quarterback who will be playing in his more or less second game, besides, you know, a little mop-up duty earlier in the season. He can try to throw everything he wants at this team, but I think our defense will be very prepared, and I think they will be very aggressive getting after him, making him make mistakes. This is still the NFL, and Penix is not prepared to play a full game against what I think is our defense is very aggressive and very opportunistic, and I do not expect Penix to put together anything special this coming up Sunday. I think we roll fairly easily. You know, I think it's going to be one of the games where the scoreboard looks closer than the game actually is. It's going to be one of those.
Talking with Barstool Nate here on B-Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP today. You look at their offense, I mean, Saquon this week, you've got Bijan next week. How much does he scare you?
Yeah, and going back to the Eagles game, 100% correct that, I mean, Saquon was, he's unbelievable. He's very, very good at football. And you know, we can talk about how Jalen went down and, you know, Kenny Pickett came in. I don't think Pickett played terrible, but obviously, you know, he is a backup for a reason. But yeah, Saquon was great. The Eagles offensive line had a lot of push, and Bijan is very, very good as well. Also very exciting to watch. I feel like he's kind of not getting the shine he deserves across the NFL just for how sick he is at 22 years old. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, Bijan is a weapon, and hopefully we can get some points on the board early and force Atlanta into throwing. Because, no, I don't want Bijan to be, you know, running the rock, you know, 30 times because he's, you know, he's like Saquon. He can bust open a 65-yarder at any given time.
So what scares you the most? Like, is there something that you're fearful at all against Atlanta, or is it something that you're pretty confident going into this one? Like you said, you know, you feel like the game maybe in terms of the scoreboard is going to be closer than it actually is. Is there something that scares you, or do you feel coming off this Eagles win that this team is just kind of going to kind of roll in this one?
Well, yeah, we can talk trap game. We can talk, you know, looking ahead. You can look at, you know, sitting at 10-5. And thinking that the Falcons are going to be an easy game and not coming out, you know, with their heads on fire. But I don't think Jaden and this coaching staff really allows for that. I guess we kind of saw it a little bit when we lost to the Cowboys, just how sloppy and bad that game was. But this game is too important, and it's flexed into Sunday night. It's in prime time. You don't come out in a primetime game at home and lay an egg. You just don't do it. If there's one thing that scares you, it has to be just how good Bijan is. But, you know, if you can take out their one dynamic player and just force their rookie quarterback to have to make plays, then you've solved that offense. So I think you just load the box, you make them throw the ball, and you just trust your guys, which I know our secondary is a little shaky, but again, Penix is inexperienced, and you can throw a lot of new looks at him, and you can kind of steal possessions that way. So if we come out anything besides on fire and motivated and ready to just destroy the Falcons, I would be very surprised. And I think we go up two possessions early and then just kind of just do our thing and continue rolling and go into week 18 at Dallas very, very, very comfortably.
Hey, you like a lot of people been asking for Luke McCaffrey to be involved in that return game. He was involved. You know, your thoughts on Luke in the game?
Yeah, so B-Mitch, I think we're on the same page here where the wide receiver room gives me an aneurysm. This is maybe the worst wide receiver room in the league. Terry is unbelievably good at football, and he's doing it all out there. You cannot find another wide receiver up and down that depth chart that can get open and make the catch on a regular basis. And I'm not saying that they're not trying. I'm not saying that they're not working their butts off. It's just the wide receiver room and then the tight end room has a severe lack of talent. And I think that only shows how much better Jaden really is, that he's doing this all behind a so-so offensive line with only Terry at wide receiver and Carson Wentz at tight end, who has played fine this season, but I think he'd be better off as a second tight end option than a first. I would like someone a little younger, a little more athletic, who can pick up yards after the catch. But that being said, putting Luke at kick return, he was great. He was stable. He looked healthy. And I think somehow through osmosis that'll pay off in the passing game. I don't know how quite yet. I'm still working on it. I'm still doing algorithms. But I think him getting more comfortable in the kick return game will pay dividends in the passing game.
Barstool Nate with us here on B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. When you look at that defense, Marshawn Lattimore, really his first test in the Saints game, he was out there, but they never even looked his way. This was his first test. I feel like it was up and down. I'm curious your thoughts on that. And then what's your concern level with another hamstring injury?
Well, the hamstring injury, obviously, is the most important part of this whole equation. Marshawn's good. We know that. He was picked on a bit. Those back-to-back pass interference flags. There are people who said the first one was fine, the second one was BS, and then vice versa. I think we all agree at least one of those was fine to call. Yeah. Calling them back-to-back I thought was a bit weird. Yeah. I thought the second one...
One AJ had his damn jersey.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, AJ was holding him the whole way. So it was his first start against, you know, two top wide receivers out there on the field, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. He made some good plays and some plays he, you know, was a little rusty on, which I think was to be expected. And now the question is he healthy again? And it's so disappointing. We need him out there. Obviously, when St. Juiced was out there, I don't want to say anything bad about St. Juiced. I think he's been through enough. I don't need a pile on. I think we all know that he is what he is, but you don't want St. Juiced out there. I'll just say it. You know, you don't want him out there. I'm not really, you know, spilling any secrets when I say that. So hopefully Lattimore can, you know, get injected with everything under the sun. Maybe he joins JP on vacation and, you know, just, you know, gets a little rubbed down from the masseuses and then can get back onto the field. He's going to be a very important part, if he's healthy, of the playoffs and next season. We just need him out there. Him out there is so vital to bring in the whole defense together, as we saw during the Saints game. And I'm not going to pile on. I promise I'm not. But he is a lot better than BSJ.
Man, we're a PG show. You're talking about rub downs and all that. What the hell's wrong with you?
Just hey, it's medicinal. Get your head out of the gutter.
I'm just saying. I know how you normally think, man.
It's all medicinal. It's all doctors. Very all professional.
Okay.
Working out that hamstring. Yeah. What, you know, when you talk about Lattimore, though, the last 2 weeks, do you feel like you saw a difference in the defense? Is it simply you just put Lattimore on the field and you've got better corners out there? Or do you feel like you saw a difference in the defense? For me, I felt like the defense was maybe able to play a little more aggressive, to do some stuff that they hadn't been able to. And
I think he brings a mindset that changes the way that they
exactly
play.
And even though he was getting beat at times by A.J. Brown, you notice they just left him over there. You didn't have to worry about changing around. You didn't have to worry about anything else. He was going to be on A.J. Brown, and it kind of allowed them to do everything else.
Yeah, exactly. It's a mindset. It's a trust thing. It's, A.J. Brown got him this play, but he's not going to get him for 15 catches for 240 yards. And it just allows you to do way more with the defense when you trust your corner. When you don't trust them and you need to provide safety help and you need to do all this other stuff, just pray that you can stop a top wide receiver. You can't get as much pressure on the quarterback. You know, they can utilize the run game more against you. It changes so much. And I think even if you want to think ahead going into next season, we should probably bring in another pretty good corner.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the secondary is complete just when Lattimore's on the field. I think we could definitely use another piece out there and then we can, you know, really fill in the spots around them. But the Falcons' pass game shouldn't be the same as the Eagles' pass game. I think we can all agree on that, where even if Lattimore has to sit out this coming up Sunday night, it's kind of Saints-esque. We can go back to that game where, you know, you're looking at an inexperienced quarterback. You're not looking at Jalen and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So that's like a little optimism and a little like, all right, even if he's not fully ready to go on Sunday, it's not the complete end of the world.
I know you're a hockey guy, Nate. I saw you retweeted that we're all kind of taking joy in the New York Rangers struggles. They lose 5-0 to the Devils last night. Curious on what you think about that. Also, the Caps, you know, they get the break now. They get Ovi back thinking into the new year.
Uh-oh.
What have you made of the Caps?
First of all, what was that? Uh-oh. But second of all...
Uh-oh, we're getting the Caps. We're getting Ovi back, fool.
I thought I missed something, like something bad happened.
Yeah, pay attention to what the hell's going on. You might stay on point.
Oh, my heavens. The Rangers aren't just struggling. The Rangers are the most pathetic, embarrassing team, not just in hockey, but in all of sports. They are just such trash, such an embarrassment to the I live in New York City, and people, when they see me walking down the street, they take their Rangers hat off because they're so embarrassed by it. It is what they are able to accomplish. They put together a roster up there that any other team in the league would have killed for, and they have single-handedly destroyed themselves from within. Tom Wilson has taken their souls and their minds and just warped them in his hands and has single-handedly almost made them into the New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns of the NHL. The Rangers are such a joke. They're now 16-17. They're last in the Metro. They're trading everybody away. They're healthy scratching Chris Kreider, who has been through hell and back with his franchise. Their coach is a joke. Their GM is a joke. Their entire organization is a joke.
Yeah, we love that, by the way. We absolutely love watching the Rangers in misery. But
when are you going to a Rangers game?
When am I going? When the Caps are in town. I'll see you there.
You may not make it out of that damn place.
Well, and with the Caps, I mean, this team hopefully getting Ovi back relatively soon. They've played pretty well. I mean, they lost last night 4-1, but you feel like they've kind of found a stride, and you add Ovi back into the mix, and this team should continue to be one of the best teams in hockey.
Yeah, definitely. They played great. Last night in Boston was not great. It was another back-to-back. If you look at the schedule that the Caps have played, it's been a ton of back-to-backs. I don't know what happened to make them PO the schedule makers that everything in December has been 2 and 3 games pretty much. It's pretty messed up. But now they do get that long break. We get Ovi coming back, as you've mentioned. And honestly, like, to lose Ovi and barely miss a beat and have 48 points, and I think we're second in the Metro right now, but that's only because New Jersey has played 3 more games than us. Otherwise, we'd be first in the entire Eastern Conference. It's a joy to watch the team, you know, when they're not struggling with these back-to-backs, which I still think it's been just overkill. I would like to know what happened where, you know, honestly, I'm looking at it again now. It's like 12th, 14th, 16th, 17th, 20, 22, 23, like the dates of December. It's just been a lot and a little bit of time. They need this rest. It'll be big for them. And then Ovi will come back, you know, after missing a month with his broken leg, and hopefully he will, you know, just be normal. And if everybody remembers, when he got hurt, he was leading the NHL in goals.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll just come back and he'll plug in, maybe not immediately be elite, elite, elite again. But you got to think that, you know, come January, it'll just be Ovi as regular, and this team will go as far as this team will take, as he will take them, you know, especially in the playoffs. He's an absolute warrior, and I'm very excited for the second half of the season.
Nate, appreciate the time, man. Have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, you guys as well. And I think it speaks just so much that you guys are grinding away on December 24th, providing the millions and millions of fans with the entertainment they need during the day. So Merry Christmas to you guys and all the listeners and to CK and everybody at the station. Appreciate all of you.
Appreciate it, Nate.
Take care, man.
Have a good one.
You heard from Barstool Nate. Always good to hear from him. Up next, you got 2 games on Christmas tomorrow. We'll talk about which one's the better game. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Thanks to Barstool Nate for joining us in the last segment. Toby Altizer in for JP Finley today. It is B. Mitch in Finley. Happy Christmas Eve. Christmas Day tomorrow. It's a Wednesday, and yet there's still going to be football.
Hell yeah.
the NFL had games last year.
Holidays
and they
need
said,
football.
Well, last year they said, oh, this will be the 1 year. And then they're like, no, actually, we had some success. We're going to put football on Christmas again.
They handle basketball. They're telling basketball, listen, we want all the holidays.
They're going to keep taking
Step
them.
Step aside.
Yeah. There's 2 games tomorrow. Chiefs and Steelers at 1 o'clock in Pittsburgh, Ravens and Texans at 4:30.
Two AFC powerhouse.
It's going to be good games. I mean, these were the games that were last Saturday. They just got reshuffled so that they can play on Wednesday. You going to be dialed into these?
Yeah.
What's your Christmas look like? Is it something where you're going to, you know, just be kind of milling around?
I'm going to be outside probably about 6:30. I'm going to start some briskets today where I got to take them off tomorrow. Then I will have some people that, you know, normally I tell them to come to my house at a certain time, but some of the idiots, they leave their whole turkey at their own house and they have to go back and get the turkey. That's what they say. I just think they were late.
Sure.
That's Jeff. I'm going to fry some turkeys tomorrow.
I was still the first
I'm going to fry some turkeys and stuff tomorrow, you know, have a few drinks with these Bamas and then get to the family.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun tomorrow having football on. There's also, let me see how many basketball.
I'm going to be watching some football now.
There's a bunch of basketball, too. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games tomorrow in basketball.
No, I'm not watching that.
I'm going to watch. Yeah, this is a tough thing. I'm going to have on. So the first kickoff for the NFL games is 1 o'clock, Chiefs-Steelers. I'm going to be watching Spurs and Knicks tipping off at noon at the Garden.
I would have wanted to watch some of the Spurs, but with me, I'm going to piss me off last night.
Oh, my gosh. That was horrible.
Didn't the NBA install a new rule that said if you flop, you get thrown out? He should be thrown out for some weeks.
That was terrible.
That was some straight garbage. And then come on, dog. The referee. Hate the fact that it's a lady. But damn it, if you don't see something, don't call anything.
Yes.
She just called.
Yeah, the fact
and
that you
didn't even see what happened. The dude threw himself down on the ground.
Ejecting Andre Drummond, giving him a second technical foul. That
then
was
had to bring
horrendous.
Him back in the game.
Yeah, what was there was
that
another
was
one.
That was the most embarrassing crap I've seen in a long time. But if Wimbyup, that, like Andre Drummond said, dude, you so soft. Soft as cotton. You can't be doing that, dog. That's not integrity.
Well, and that's how, like, if you're going to have dudes like that coming in the league, right, that are that tall and that skinny, a Joel Embiid, an Andre Drummond, a traditional big that's 7 foot with some beef, they're going to beat you down in the post.
If they beat him down and they get a foul, yes. But when you just throw yourself on the ground, you should get nothing.
Correct.
They should just tell you, boo, get the hell out the stadium.
Well, and you should get a foul. You should get a technical something.
He should have been thrown out that game yesterday.
Yeah.
Because the first one on Drummond, he just fell on his own.
Correct.
Then the second one, he threw himself across the damn line. What the hell is this?
Yeah, that was frustrating.
I'm not watching the Spurs because of that, because of him.
Well, and then there was another, I can't remember what NBA player it was and what team it was. It was a couple nights ago, going back to officiating problems. And someone had spilled a beer on the floor, B. Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
And the defensive player comes up, like, pointing to the ref, like, hey, there's a beer on the floor. You know what the ref immediately did?
What?
Tech.
Because he says a beer on the floor?
Because he's like, hey, trying to get his attention and pointing at something.
Too many of these damn referees in basketball, they think they run the damn game. You know,
right?
You are not what people come to see. It's just get in there, do your damn job, and go to hell home.
Ego trip.
I'm annoyed by it. The referees in the NBA kill me, dude.
Well, it's the NBA, the NFL at times. I mean, it is so
the referees
bad.
In the NFL, some of these dudes, I think they don't have the NFL give them too much to worry about every year. Every year they want to change 500,000 damn rules.
Yeah.
Give us some football and get the hell out the way.
Oh, and by the way, you Philly fans that are complaining about a false start of on that 10-second play that wins the game, go look at your own right tackle. He false starts every single time. But the officiating has become a problem in so many sports. But regardless, tomorrow, 2 Christmas games. Which one are you more intrigued by, Chiefs, Steelers, or Ravens, Texans? Probably the Chiefs game, right?
I think Ravens, Texans. That game right there, you're talking about people that live off of their defense, but they both have good offenses. I think it's going to be them. But I think the Chiefs game only because nobody wants to give credit to a team that's 14-1.
They're 14-1, and no one talks.
And they're like, "Oh, they're not that good." I don't know what people think. This is why I have problem with the analytics world and just the offensive minded world. The object of the game is to win it, right? And if you keep winning it, doesn't make a damn difference that, well, you know, based off of what they're doing, they should have lost that game. They didn't, though. When do you take your head out your analytics ass and just sit up there and look at the results of something? Pat Mahomes get the ball with one drive left in the game. I guarantee you there's no analytics that can tell me nothing about it. But I bet you everybody puckering up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it comes to a point where we got to understand that the world is not just run by what we think. It's ran by what the hell goes down consistently. And when he gets the ball, he scares the hell out of the people.
Hey, Jeff, you know that gif or gif, however you want to say it, you know that gif of Dave Chappelle when he sees that water and it smacks it and runs?
Yeah, it's gif.
It's gif. But regardless, I'm about to do that real quick. Watch this. You talk about analytics. Guess what PFF had Jaden Daniels ranked as quarterback this week, where he ranked?
Where?
15th.
You know what I say to them? I give them number one. Finger salute. That's what I give them.
I had a feeling there might be some a reaction there. I'm curious to see.
Listen, I understand that numbers can do a lot of stuff for you. But just because you put in certain numbers in certain situations and you get a result doesn't mean that that's a guarantee.
Well, and I appreciate what they do. I know that they're watching the film. They're going through doing this different stuff. But
they can't be watching the film. If they saw the game and he's 50, they didn't watch the film.
I know he made two bad throws. I get it. The first interception is just a sail. The second one is a force. I get those are bad throws. But you also have to factor in the fact they had nothing on offense and everything depended on Jaden. Every single thing.
He only came back and threw five touchdowns.
If you want to knock the interception, how many quarterbacks make the throw to Terry McLaurin for the touchdown? Not many.
That throw is early.
That throw is right on target. I don't know.
See, this is my thing.
That stuff drives me nuts.
As I listen to people explain analytics to me, analytics can tell you everything about why something happened wrong. But they don't seem to give you credit for the exceptional things that you do. And that, to me, tells me we got people that just want to be a part of a story. And that's why I get pissed off at it. But, hey, teach his own.
I think Sean McVay said it best. I think it was Sean McVay. Said, analytics are great, but analytics doesn't tell you that your left guard's been getting his butt beat all day.
Like, that's what I'm saying. So you see a guy have a bad game. And they're like, oh, man, the quarterback doing this. Do you not see that defensive end over there beating the brakes off of this tackle?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you have to look at more than just putting in, well, in this situation, this should happen. Well, the numbers say it didn't happen. Take your numbers and go to hell home. You know, that's what I think about it.
Real quick, just looking at the games tomorrow in terms of playoff implications. So Kansas City is 14-1. They're two games ahead of Buffalo. If they win tomorrow, they would probably wrap up the one seed in the AFC. So it's big for them. Going against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh currently on top of the AFC North. They're 10-5. Baltimore's also 10-5. So they play the later game against Houston. Baltimore currently the fifth seed in the AFC. Houston is at 9-6. They've won the AFC South. So mm-hmm. They've already clinched the playoff spot. All those teams have clinched playoff spots. But big for the Chiefs, they can clinch the one seed. Big for the Steelers, so they can hold on to the AFC North. Big for the Ravens, so that they can maybe take the lead from the Steelers. Big for the Texans because they can maybe leapfrog the Steelers and get to the 3 seed in the AFC. So some good matchups tomorrow.
Good thing about analytics. The NFL saw if we flex the right games in primetime, we make even more money. That's good analytics.
100%.
Right there. You see, 100%. They put two games out there that are vitally important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch. People are going to be tuning in. And by the way, sorry, NBA, your stranglehold on Christmas
is over.
It's over. Yeah. It's over. Totally. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to all the listeners out there. Merry Christmas to the people in the chat. Yeah. Appreciate y'all hanging out
What's up, Christmas Eve.
So we talked about the Christmas games.
I want to shout out Tay. Tay took care of our lunch.
Yeah, appreciate Tay.
Appreciate
you.
Tay, man, way to go. And I also want to say, I think Mary Jones, happy birthday to you, mama.
Looking at the games tomorrow, we talked about which ones are, you know, more intriguing. You a fan of football on Christmas? Do you like having the games on Christmas?
Yeah,
or is it something
like football anytime? You know, I like sports. Like, you know, people say what they can't watch. If I'm in the house and I'm watching TV, I'd much rather watch sports than this reality BS on TV. Because sports is reality TV. A lot of this stuff that they say is reality TV, that stuff is constantly produced.
Yeah.
And changed up. It's scripted, so it's not reality TV. It's garbage, you know, garbage. You know, too many of them put, they promote, you know, narratives that aren't true 100%. They, you know, have all this. So I don't like all that. I'd rather watch sports than anything, and I can watch any sport, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and to me, I don't know. I'm like torn on this. I'm never going to complain about football on another day that mm-hmm. I get to watch it. But it was always a Christmas tradition growing up. You know, you open the presents and then you sit down and watch basketball all day. It was kind of the unofficial start of basketball season for me with it.
You know, Toby, you'll get over it. Don't worry
about it. Well, and I will. Yeah. Believe me, I'm going to have football on tomorrow and I'm not going to. Who's playing during the game?
You can put
tomorrow?
The split screen, watch one football game, one basketball game.
I got two screens. I'm watching both. Yeah. We're good. But believe me, once Chiefs Steelers starts, I'm going to care less about Spurs Knicks. Timberwolves, Mavericks. Like, there's some good games tomorrow. Sixers, Celtics. You got Lakers, Warriors, Nuggets, Suns. I'm never going to complain about more football, but, I mean, it just shows you how big the NFL is, that the NBA, which is a huge brand, right?
Yeah,
I mean, internationally, it's a huge brand. People love the NBA, and people are just, they're not even going to care that there's five NBA games tomorrow when the two NFL games are on. You're going to be tuning in to see Mahomes and see Lamar Jackson and CJ Stroud instead. That's all that matters.
It is what it is, bro.
Jeff, I'm curious, are you going to be checking out the NFL games? You're going to be watching NBA games? You're going to be dialed in tomorrow on the games on Christmas Day?
I will be watching the NFL games.
You're not going to be caring about the NBA at all?
No. Because for some reason, dude, it's
bro,
like,
you can watch another 50 games because they got a lot more of them coming.
That is so true.
Yeah, and it's like, to me, as a guy who grew up watching the Wizards and stuff play, it don't seem like the athletes are into it until
playoffs
after the All-Star break.
Yeah,
and you can see it. So it's like, I don't want to watch that crap right now.
Well, and the brand of basketball,
except for the Wizards. The Wizards play, I watch all the Wizards basketball I can.
Well, that's where you're delusional.
I was a Commanders fan for how long?
Well, listen, watching football, you get 17 of those, 16 of those. Wiz, 82 games, you're dialed in?
No, not all 82, but if I'm at home and a Wizards game is on, yes. Like, if the Wizards were playing on Christmas and it was
he
a football
game.
Check this out.
He's looking at the back of his eyelids.
Check this out. Who'd the Wiz play last night?
I don't even know, bro.
See?
I wasn't home either last night either. I was
at Oklahoma City, dude.
Yeah.
I bet on that game. They were getting 16 and a half, and they lost by 18.
They still lost. Mm. And the overhit, by the way, which hadn't been happening recently. But, yeah, I mean, I don't mind having it on Christmas. I think it's going to be, what does Christmas fall on next year? Because that's the one issue that I had. I'm curious your thoughts as a former player, B. Mitch. Like, they forced them to have back-to-back short weeks. So they played on the previous Sunday, then they played on Saturday this past week so that they could play on Wednesday. That's not great for the players, but it's obviously great for the league.
But let me ask you a question. We were talking earlier about how you approach football, and we say all the things have been changed for the player, for the league to protect the players, right? Is playing on wins and protecting players?
No, not at all.
So the league care about protecting what?
Its own pocket. I mean, and even when you say protecting the players, they're still protecting their own pocket because Patrick Mahomes being in a game is going to make you a whole lot more than Carson Wentz starting for Kansas City.
100,000%.
And by the way, for next year, Christmas is on a Thursday, so they're taking it over once again. And it's not even going to screw up their schedule.
You know, and it's going to be on a regular day then. That's a regular NFL day.
It's a regular NFL day. It's going to fall like Thanksgiving on a Thursday. They're not going to have to mess up anyone's schedule. I don't know. It's intriguing. It's funny that the NFL did it last year thinking that, oh, we'll pretend like it's a trial and we're not going to do this every year. Yeah, you're doing it every year. When they had that check come in for all the earnings from Christmas Day, you knew they were finding a way.
And I think these two games are not on regular TV, is it?
They're on Netflix.
And it's like 100 and some million. What was it? I said they're like almost 100 and some million per game.
I tell you what.
They paid to get this.
Netflix better have it figured out, unlike the Tyson fights, where you can actually watch this thing. Because if you got buffering issues in the middle of an NFL game, they thought there were problems with people talking during the Tyson fight. You want to mess with someone trying to watch football?
Oh, it's going to be a problem then.
It's going to be bad. I bet you the NFL was all over them when they saw the issues with the Tyson fight.
They're like, you know that better not happen when, when you're doing the house stuff.
Exactly right. That better not happen. Jaden Daniels had a heck of a game on Sunday. He's had some incredible moments already in his rookie season. What's been his best performance? We want to take some of your phone calls on this, 800-636-1067. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. What's been the best Jaden game of the year? Was it this past Sunday? Was it another performance? What's been your favorite Jaden performance? We'll talk about it next. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.